Hey, everybody, we are back. My Thai Happy Hour podcast is back. Gabe is literally echoing every single thing I'm saying, and it's hilarious.
I love it.
Hambone, the holidays are over, and I gotta say, I'm actually happy to be back in work mode because then I don't have to think about the miserable world we're in. So, enjoyed the last couple days of work, getting ready for CES and all the fun, everything virtual, of course. But, you know,
yeah. Getting no meeting Becky Lynch for you this year or getting COVID again.
No. Hambone, what do we have in store for all the kids this week?
So this week we have an action-packed episode. Seemingly, we went from a drought of content that was new coming out to everything dropping in a matter of days. So we are going to talk about Cobra Kai Season 3, which we have been waiting for since the end of Cobra Kai Season 2 patiently. We've got Batman thoughts. There's been a lot of Batman talk lately, so we're going to chat about Batman. Sweet Home is on Netflix as well. George had the chance to check it out because I was too busy binging Sabrina, the fourth and final season, out now on Netflix.
I think you will love Sweet Home when you finally get to watch it. I'm excited. I could use a cocktail. Hambone, liquor us up, or me up.
So, in honor of Sabrina's final season, which deals with the Eldritch terrors, I found a cocktail that's called an Eldritch cocktail. Eldritch, for those who might not be familiar with it, is in reference to the cosmic horrors that were written about by H.P. Lovecraft. So this is a rum-based cocktail. They're going to want you to use an ounce of old Ipswich rum, which you might not have, so you're going to want to go with a little bit of a lighter rum for that one. You're going to do an ounce of Butterfly Boston Absinthe, so make sure whatever kind of absinthe you got is the good kind with the wormwood. Half of a freshly squeezed lemon, or a splash of orange juice if you don't have lemons handy. 2 to 3 ounces of ginger beer, 1 ounce of Kraken spice rum, and 1 to 2 dashes of bitters. Now, this recipe wants you to build the drink in an ice-filled Collins glass in order. And you're going to stir this. You're not going to shake this. You're going to stir this because you are going to add the ginger beer after you stir it slightly. And then you are going to serve it in the glass. You're not putting it in a shaker. You're putting it directly in the glass with the ice, and you're going to float the Kraken rum on the top and hit it with a dash or two of bitters. It is going to be a really nice kind of burnt orange color with a hint of that wormwood in there, and that is the Eldritch cocktail.
It sounds really good. Sounds like that would be right up my alley. Definitely better than some of the wackadoo cocktails you've been pulling on me lately. This one, I love Kraken for, like, if you do a rum and Coke. I think it's a very good spice drink in that regard. Hi, Gabe. How are you doing? Buddy. Yeah. I maybe should have told you could speak loud and then you get a heard. We're going to talk about karate now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kung Fu? Hiya?
No way.
Yeah. Cobra Kai came out on Netflix. He is so excited for Hiya. I don't know who taught him Hiya, by the way. No idea, yeah. But that's all he does now is kick me and go Hiya and talks about karate, which I guess he does in school, maybe like yoga. But Cobra Kai, so good. So good.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Like, this is one of those shows where when it initially got announced, and folks, for those listening at home who might just be watching it on Netflix, it originally premiered on the YouTube Red channel, which was the pay for YouTube subscription service because they had to have their own streaming service and they had a bunch of original content. This was like the launch title for their streaming channel. People loved it, but people didn't like paying for their streaming service just for this one show, which was absolutely amazing.
I don't think they even knew it existed, Hambone. I mean, YouTube Red was such a bad rollout. It wasn't marketed at all. And then they like tripled the price and took away Cobra Kai. Thank goodness it landed on Netflix.
Well, before it landed on Netflix, it landed on everyone's whatever they used to steal the shows. And that's how everyone saw it, because I doubt very few people actually paid for it. But it was a smash hit. People could not get enough of Cobra Kai. Season 2 built on the momentum of the first season and ended with a completely bonkers, essentially cliffhanger for the show. The premise for the show, by the way, is decades after their 1984 All-Valley Karate Tournament bout, a middle-aged Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence find themselves martial arts rivals again. They both have rival dojos. They both have different philosophies on karate and self-defense and fighting, and wackiness ensues. And obviously it's like drama as well, because there's a lot of younger kids in the show, but they've managed to find the right balance of like teen drama, adult comedy, and being able to reference a lot of stuff from the 80s and things that happened in those movies without being overbearing, and know where people see the jokes and everything and take it in that direction. They've done it masterfully for like two seasons, and I'm happy to say they stuck to landing in season three.
I love this show, Hambone. I love the fact that they've taken something that was very strong in my memories, like Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi, Danielson, have a very important part of my youth. Did I ever tell you I did karate?
No, you did not.
I did karate for about 2 minutes, and then I fell on a thorn outside of my school, and like the thorn went to my knee, and I couldn't do karate, and then it was like a failure, and so that was my 2 days doing karate. That was at the community center in West Orange. I barely remember it. It was a very strange time in my life. But yeah, that was my 2 days doing karate. I never got to level these kids. I am so happy that this show exists, Hambone. It is literally my happy place right now. And let me tell you why I love this season so much. I love it because the focus was a little more on the adults. And I get that they're trying to, like, this is basically a show for like Gen X and their Gen Z kids. But the fact is, I don't know if the Gen Z kids really care about this show as much as we do. So they went all in on the past on this one. All in. I mean,
they
fucking
really did.
Karate Kid 2. I mean, oh my God, I'm not going to spoil anything. But if you like Karate Kid 2, you will love season 3 of Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I mean, season 1 is all about restoring the rivalry between Johnny and Daniel and bringing in the younger actors to kind of fill out the show. Season 2 is more of a focus on fleshing out that rivalry and the roots of that rivalry, and also dealing with what the kids are going through.
Well,
and they find a way to make it very compelling, and also bringing back John Kreese, who was the original owner of the Cobra Kai dojo, and seeing what kind of crazy directions that brings everything in. This season, George is correct, it really does focus on the adults, and they start going back to Karate Kid 2 and actually like referencing, you know, the things on the internet where people are like, no, Daniel was actually the bully in the Karate Kid. Like, these are the guys. John Hurwitz, he is the mind behind the Harold and Kumar movies. And so the kind of comedy and balance between, like, you know, self-reverential thought, comedy, and like, you know, heartfelt stuff, they hit the perfect balance in everything. And I think that they really did a good job in season 3 of diving into John Kreese's backstory without making him a sympathetic character. Like, yeah, you kind of see the complete bastard that he is, and why he is a bastard, and how he was always kind of like one bad day away from being the bad guy. Such good work here. Such good work. And I can't believe that it's made it to 3 seasons, and I can't wait for season 4.
I have to be honest with you. I think it's William Zabeka is the guy who plays John Kreese. Yeah. I think he had more lines in this than all the movies he ever was in the 80s put together.
Oh, 100%.
Like, crazy.
100%.
He's also an executive producer, but very, yeah, very impressed. He also could make a great older Billy Idol if they ever want to cast him as Billy Idol.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right?
100%. Right? Oh, my God, George. Blowing my mind here tonight.
I enjoyed his backstory. I think, I mean, look, this whole thing's insane, but I was telling Allison why I like this show is because it's insane. It's bonkers. The acting is what it is, especially the kids. These are not like Game of Thrones level caliber actors. But what makes it great is that it never gets stupid. It never gets to the point where, like, shows like Riverdale and some other shows like that, where they get to a point where it's just, the writing gets stupid. It gets dumb. Here, it's smart to the point where it all makes sense. Like, everybody still plays in their lane without hitting a trope that shouldn't exist. And look, I mean, I get that Johnny plays like the Gen Xer, the older Gen Xer that never quite grew up. Daniel is like the, you know, the middle-aged yuppie who's trying to make his car dealership survive. But they're never dumb. And that's what I like about this. Nobody's ever dumb.
Well, they do a lot of smart things in the series where you would know typically that a bad decision is about to be made and then they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like so refreshing because I don't need to have everything telegraphed to me where I'm like, oh, and here we go. And this is where they fuck everything up. It's like, no, they actually find a way to take you right to the brink and then pull away before they do something incredibly stupid. They also do a good job in the show, whether you are an adult or whether you are a kid, your storyline goes where it's supposed to go. And when you're going to make that baby face turn or you're going to make the heel turn, you earn it. So nothing happens in this show out of nowhere. They do a great job of building and doing long form storytelling. And, you know, I never thought in the year 2020, 2021, I would say one of the most compelling things on TV that I would see would be Cobra Kai. But here we are, dude. I mean, we're doing the show almost 5 years now. For the last like 2-3 years, we've been talking about Cobra Kai, and it really is TV to watch.
I don't know if it's, yeah, I mean, look, it's not TV that really stretches your mind too much, but it's fun. It's fun without being dumb. And that's a very hard thing today if you're not a sitcom. And look, this is going to write itself into a corner. I really hope they have an end game. Season 3 really reached into Karate Kid 2 territory. They're kind of running out of callbacks. And I'm not quite sure how much and how long you just have enough building towards another karate tournament. And, you know, it's one town and there's only so many people. And it clearly doesn't have a huge, huge budget. And I'm just curious to see if it can do anything beyond a season 4. I mean, do we go into the other two movies? You know what I mean?
Well, the fourth movie really had nothing to do with anything. The third movie, The Karate Kid 3, it's John Kreese's movie attempting to gain revenge on Daniel and Miyagi with the help of a Vietnam War comrade who was the wealthy owner of a toxic waste business. So they kind of set it up to kind of do The Karate Kid 3 in season 4 of this series. I think that there is no possible way they could go more than 5 seasons with this show. Like, I think they can nail it and totally stick the landing in season 4. But if they find their way to season 5 has to be it, because that is going to be too much.
Oh, I agree.
They're right on the precipice.
I mean, I don't know. I let's see where it goes. Actually, okay, help me out here. Season 4 was what your series season. Karate Kid 3 was what you said it was. Karate Kid 4, wasn't it a girl?
I think Karate Kid 4 was the new Karate Kid.
That was Will Smith, his kid.
Hold on a second here.
Now, Will Smith is the executive producer on this, so he might bring in, like, you know, his kid might come in and, like, reprise his role. Who knows? I mean, God knows with where they're going now. They're digging up everybody.
So Karate Kid 4 was the next Karate Kid. It came out in 1994, and it was with Hilary Swank.
Yes, but then there was one more.
Yeah, that was the Karate Kid with Will Smith's kid,
yeah,
and Jackie Chan.
Do you get Hilary Swank on this? What's she doing lately?
I don't know. I mean, look, they're pulling people left and right into this thing. That would be amazing if Hilary Swank comes in and she was like, you know, I trained with Miyagi as well. And that's the only way they could stretch this out to a season 5 is if they get Hilary Swank to come back in and reprise her role from the next Karate Kid.
I love it. I love everything. Again, this show is fun. It's good fun. If you grew up with the Karate Kid, even cursory remembrance, because you know what? It's not very good. I went back and saw it after season 1 and I'm like, the Karate Kid is really long. And you really, like, in hindsight, you do see how big of a dick, like, Daniel is. So there really isn't even a good guy in the movie. This show does it so well. Like, they actually write the characters the way they should have been written originally. And I think they do a good job making everybody sympathetic, except for John Kreese. I got something to boggle your mind. You know what drove me nuts about the original Karate Kid? And I realized it. As a kid, I could never understand how there was Johnny Lawrence and John Kreese. Like, what shows or movie, like, cast the same name for two characters in the show? Like, when do you ever see that?
That's kind of weird.
It was weird. And when I was a kid, it really bothered me because the two looked a little bit alike. I mean, one was older, but not that much older. And I just remember being very confused as a child over why there was two Johns.
So I have a thought on that. So Johnny is more of a kid's name, and there is definitely a father and son style relationship between John Kreese and Johnny Lawrence. So I could see that in that, but I'm just like fantasy booking here. I'm just pulling this out of my ass, if I'm being very honest.
But it's definitely something you don't see very often. I mean, rarely do you see someone with the same name on a show or a movie, you know, two people, two main characters with the same name regardless of if it's Johnny or John. I mean, I always was very, that bothered me as a kid. I used to get very confused over who was who as a child. I don't know why I did, but, you know, when I was a kid. I mean, shit, this came out in like 84. I was like six, maybe. Six, yeah. Seven, I don't know. But that just hit me and realized it while watching. I was like, oh, his name is John Kreese. I think they call him Kreese a lot more because of that. Yeah. But what a strange, strange thing. It's something you just don't see in today's movies or TV. But again, can't recommend this more. I think it was better than season two. I think it is well worth watching. It's what, eight episodes, half hour or less each? Way, way, way worth, well worth your while.
Yeah, it's a very digestible 20 to 30 minutes of television for these episodes. I think the first and last episode go a little bit longer, but Sally and I just watched the whole thing in like a day. And then I was like, yeah. So I was like, I hope that wasn't terrible for you. She's like, I'm going to go back and watch the first two seasons now. Then I'll just watch this again. She's like, that was, you know, it was dumb, but it was awesome.
Did she remember The Karate Kid?
Well, no, Sally's a little bit younger than I am, so The Karate Kid wasn't exactly on her radar.
I don't know. I mean, that's one of those stood the test of time movies. Yeah. One of the ones that, you know, perpetually lived in perpetuity on, like, TNT or, you know, like, kids today, I still think we can watch The Shawshank Redemption because it just never stops playing. But
this is very true.
But regardless, I think it was great. Love it. Do you recommend it?
Oh, 100% recommend it. I think, especially because knowing that most people who are existing in this pandemic with us have Netflix, this is a thing that you're going to want to watch on Netflix. Just do it. Let yourself enjoy things.
If you like Stranger Things, you'll like this too. I mean, it has a lot of that feel, even though it doesn't take place in the 80s. It feels like the 80s. It goofs back on it. I mean, you know, it made me really happy to not be an older Gen Xer, but to be a younger Gen Xer, because the older generation... Yeah, I think a lot of them turned out like Johnny Lawrence. Regardless, absolutely. Big news this week, Hambone.
Speaking of the 80s.
Oh, my God. Was it the 80s? It was 89, wasn't it?
1989, baby.
Look, this hasn't been officially said, but the rumors have been hot, and a New York Times reporter has basically confirmed it this week that Michael Keaton is reprising his role as Batman and taking over for Ben Affleck as Batman in the current DC universe, and it will run simultaneously in parallel to the other Batman played by, help me here with his name, Pattinson?
Robert Pattinson.
Wow. Wow. Like, I don't even know. Like, it's almost so amazing, it's hilarious.
You know, it's kind of funny because years ago there was a Batman ban that they were not allowing Batman to appear in anything other than cartoons because they thought it would confuse the audience if Batman was in multiple movies. Like, Batman just had to be Batman in Batman's own movie. But now they're like, yo, fuck it. Everyone loves Batman. We like money. Let Batman show up in Titans. Let Batman show up as Batman in this movie, but he could also be a different Batman in this movie, like in a different Batman in the Justice League. Like, it's so stupid that they think that having different Batmans would confuse people because everyone knows they're just going to go see Batman. They don't give a shit who's in the suit, really. They're going to see a fucking Batman movie.
Well, no, he has to be good, too. I mean, he can't be a shitty actor playing Batman.
But you know what I mean? That's what I mean. They're not going to let a shitty actor play Batman. And at the same time, if there's two good actors playing Batman, no one's going to be confused because people are smart and they can Google shit. We're adults.
No, it's just weird because it's Michael Keaton. I mean, there's fucking no way around it. Michael Keaton is you know, look, I'm not being ageist, but come on. I mean, he's our parents' age playing Batman. So there's a lot of rumors, speculation more, that he will be doing the Batman Beyond, which I believe was the successor to the Batman animated series, similar style of animation, older Batman. I just don't know if he's going to be playing the same Batman as he played in the 80s. I did not watch Batman vs. Superman. I did not watch Justice League. I know Batman vs. Superman, it's an older Batman, right?
I mean,
was it the Dark Knight Returns Batman?
No, they kind of just dressed him up in that suit to make the kids pop, but or make the older kids pop. They don't really specify how old he is in those movies. Off the top of my head, I can't clarify that. However, it does look like it's an older Batman, like a mid-30s, early 40s Batman. Yeah. And it's definitely not a young Batman. Like, Robert Pattinson is definitely going to be a younger Batman. I think that if they did go the Keaton route where it is a Batman Beyond thing, that would be absolutely amazing. Batman Beyond was fantastic. The idea that they spun that out of the animated series and turned it into something wildly different is super cool. Like, you know, the Batman versus Superman movie, don't watch it. It's fucking garbage. The Justice League movie, another garbage movie. However, I'm curious to see what happens.
Oh, I can't
wait.
Bunch
of money.
It's
going to be must-see TV for me and you, man. We are going to be... I wish we could sit there together and watch it.
Well, maybe by March we can. Isn't it March?
We'll see what happens with the vaccines.
I mean, we got friends saying we're going to be having parties by March, so I'm keeping my like flame burning.
We might as well just find a way to FaceTime each other while we watch it together, if worst case scenario. But I'm curious to see what they do with this, and I'm curious to see how they open this up. Tweet on the street is that the Flash movie is supposed to set the DC film universe. And because it cracks open the multiverse, and they've already cracked it open by letting that Flash appear for a moment in the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover that took place on WB TV and the CW. So they're supposed to, while that's happening, have this happen. So there is the Batman from, you know, Burton, the Batman from the other guy, and then the Batman, Robert Pattinson, and then the Ben Affleck. I mean, they could potentially have
Val Kilmer.
I would love that. I mean, well, technically, though, the Val Kilmer Batman
was Michael Keaton.
Is what was Michael Keaton, and so was the George Clooney Batman. I was thinking,
oh my god,
they got
Christian I forgot Bale. About the George Clooney Batman. I forgot yeah. about George Clooney Batman.
That was all the same Batman universe, which is something that never would have happened with contracts being what they are now, building universes over at Marvel. Like, Michael Keaton would have been in all those damn movies, probably would have been better. That being said, you know, right now we're about to have, I think, 3 Spider-Man in the next Spider-Man movie. So why not have like 19 Batman?
Yeah, but the,
I swear to God, if Adam West was alive, they would have trotted his ass out too, put him in that costume.
But
Batman.
The thing is, though, they're not doing, like, from what I gather, Spider-Man's going to be the Spider-Verse, whatever storyline, the Miles Morales storyline that we saw in a great cartoon. So I'm hoping they're not really just recreating greatness, because I think Into the Spider-Verse was one of the best Spider-Man representations
Absolutely.
Ever. But I think that's where they're going, because why else would you have the other Spider-Man? But they're coming in for one movie, for a spot in a movie. They're not coming in to, like, have their own version of Spider-Man in another, like, oh, we're going to continue doing Amazing Spider-Man while doing this Spider-Man, and they're going to have a different Spider-Man in this Spider-Man. Like, it's not what DC just is losing their mind. I get what they're trying. We actually don't know what they're doing at Marvel, but we're assuming.
No one knows what they're doing. I mean, remember, everything is only one until it starts printing money. And then once it starts printing money, then we see which way it goes.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
I disagree with you because Marvel has their shit together. Like, they have
I was talking about the DC thing with Batman. Because it's supposed to only be one for Keaton for Batman as well. But I said everything, you know, like, once it starts making money.
I heard the Keaton thing is going forward with whatever the next stuff in that universe is, because there'll be different fucking universes for DC. I can't. I hated multi-universes back in the day with both comic book companies. I don't like two universes and multi-universes. I hate parallel dimensions. I hate the freaking, you know what I hate more than anything? I hate the universe that lives in your mind. I forgot what that thing's called. The you know, when they fight in that plane, the altered plane or whatever, the hell plane, the astral plane. The astral plane.
Okay.
That's probably why I couldn't get to Legion, but that's a whole different story. Look, I'm excited for Justice League because I feel like this is going to be great content, because I have never seen Batman versus Superman or Justice League or even Aquaman. And you know how I felt about the new Wonder Woman. So I kind of want to see this. Knowing that I am a Zack Snyder fan to an extent, I want to see this, like, I want to see this from my perspective, and then have your perspective having seen the original and the new one. So I'm very curious. I think it'll lead for some great conversation. We might have to have like an intermediary too.
I think when the Justice League comes out, that just might be the episode.
I don't know. I don't know if we have enough. If I could talk about it for an hour without me just shitting on DC, but then again, that might be quality content. We'll see. But look, I get it. Again, we're also talking about Marvel bringing back a lot of people. Rumor on the street is very hot right now that they're going to bring back the guy to play Daredevil. I'm very excited about that if they do, because I think his Daredevil was excellent, and you know, would love to see him. Charlie Cox, is that his name?
Charlie Cox coming back.
Oh my God, I got his name right.
As Matt Murdock. Wait, going to meet the lawyer for Spider-Man.
Not official yet, right? Like, that's not official. But like, if it is, I am excited. I am very much of the where there's smoke, there's fire when it comes to these type of movies, because leaks happen, because, you know, it's going to come out eventually. Hopefully they bring back Punisher too, and they do it right. I thought he was Shane. I will always call him Shane. Was a great Punisher, and I can't actually see anyone else in that role anymore. But again, I still want to see Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, who I have a feeling he's going to be more than Deadpool. And if those rumors are true, he's going to be helping like spearhead bring the X-Men into the Marvel Cinematic Universe as like an executive producer, which would be fucking amazing.
I think he's really the only one who could do it, man. And I think that they need to like tag someone in to do that. Cause I mean, yes, we all believe Kevin Feige does what he does. He works magic, but for something like that, the only person who ever really seemingly understood the X-Men while they were working time over at Fox was Ryan Reynolds. So I think that he's definitely earned that spot.
And very much like Favreau did for the Mandalorian. I mean, you bring in a fanboy. You bring in a fanboy, yes, it becomes a little fanfiction-y, but at least they do it right. And that's all that really matters. As long as you have a bullshit detector that can call out when something's not good, then you don't have something like Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw that thing today that said it had like 50 different scripts for Wonder Woman 84. Like,
yep, and
feels like they shot 50 different scripts for Wonder Woman 84. I still can't get over how bad of a movie that was. And I'm so disappointed because it was one of the things I was most looking forward to.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it to death last week, but you're right. Things are coming out now. There was, I believe, 30 different scripts going into it. It sounds like the director, Patty Jenkins, was a little upset about not necessarily bullying, but the amount of changes being offered up by Warner Brothers. I wouldn't be shocked. It felt like, I think I said, it felt like it was written by a committee, and it is. I mean, it's going to come out that it was. They just were so, you know, when you do something good and it's off the radar, it becomes very on the radar afterwards. I see it in myself in corporate America. Yeah. Like the moment you do something cool, everyone wants a piece of it, and then they want to make sure it's, you know, it gets its money back next time too. I don't know. I can't speak to it because I've never heard anything good coming out of Warner Brothers. Like, the whole process and the whole DC universe is so screwed. Like, they literally need to do what Marvel did, which is branch out DC Cinematic Universe into its own, like, its own property. Don't have it be under the Warner Brothers umbrella. Have it be its own thing and let it survive by its own creative teams that has, like, a senior editor-in-chief, like what Marvel does, that can like really drive the story and make sure everything makes sense. And I don't know. Look, it's my gimmick. I hate DC, but like, you in all it. Honesty, like I don't mind seeing comic book properties succeed. Like I would love to see it succeed. It's just, you know, they can't win. They can't win. And we'll see what happens. I'm glad, you know, I don't shit on the TV shows. You say they're great. Maybe they are. Like, I'm here for it if they are, but it sounds like they're not even doing much of them anymore.
They are. I mean, you have to understand that a lot of it got pushed back because of COVID, but you know, we're about to see Swamp Thing hit the CW. We're about to see Stargirl hit the CW. There's some things in the works. It's just The Flash is going to be coming back soon. Legends is coming back. There's a lot of things in the works. We got a new Batgirl coming that Ruby Rose tapped out of being Batgirl. She didn't want to do it anymore for whatever reason. So they have a brand new Batgirl, which is going to be pretty cool as well, I think. It's just, you know, nothing is really in the forefront right now because, you know, people are still just trying to shoot things without people catching COVID.
I mean, let's just get through this and we'll probably have a lot of TV to watch in like the next year after this year. Like, you know, I'm thinking like from June to June, maybe we might have, no, because they got to record stuff. I just don't know how much production is happening right now. Like, I'm not sure, because you're hearing there is production happening with a lot of strict COVID rules in place and regulations. So I am curious to see what, you know, what is being stalled, what isn't. Obviously, we've heard of stuff that's been canceled, the smaller Netflix things that I'm very upset about. But I'm curious to see what's going to stall and what is going to still come out on time or semi on time. It'll be an interesting year. I think we can never assume that anything's going to be, oh, this came out at this time last year. It's probably going to be slightly different, if not completely different, this year. And, you know, so be it. Hey, my my mortgage refinance just closed. I'm very happy nice. About that. I just got the email from Wells Fargo. I'm finally re-owned my home. That was fun. Jesus Christ. Comedy of errors around the holidays where we literally just could not, like, State Farm could not get their computers to work from home. Like, anybody out there, if you're going to refinance your home, now is the time to do it. This is not an ad for a mortgage company. This is the just dad mode talking. This is the time to refinance your home now, but just know that, like, the refinance process, it kind of sucks. Like, oh, I got to close up my house to get it to cost $12,000 in closing fees. Fuck my life. But at least that's done. And now we have a much lower interest rate. So I'm happy about that. Go check out Rocket Mortgage. No, I'm just kidding. Hambone, what's new what's new in your life lately? How have your holidays been?
You know, my holidays were cool. It was, you know, I mean, obviously, I didn't see my family. I saw my parents over Zoom. They did stop by, though, a few days before Christmas to just drop off some gifts for me, which was nice. I got a Aquasana. This is also not an ad, but I'm just very excited about this. I got an Aquasana water filter for my kitchen sink. So now I have fresh water, like, every day instead of having to rely on my Brita and keep refilling the Brita. I got my own little water spout. That's delicious. Coffee tastes even better now, and I'm so excited about it. I spent the holidays with Sally. It was cool. Like, you know, watching our programs, eating snacks, you know, not dealing with the outside world.
Yeah.
Fun.
I hear you. You know, I worked a little bit. I've got this new, we're going to be doing this new, I think, social series. You know, my little videos I do for Verizon.
Right.
We're going to do like a longer form, like 10-minute talk show based around that. That I'm still trying to figure out what it's going to look like. The first one's probably gonna be hodgepodge, but we're going to try to do something like that. So I've been shooting that in my basement, and it's been, I did a lot of that. The only problem I'm learning is it really sucks when you like shave and you get dressed up and you shoot some video, and then you realize you like either flubbed something or like you didn't like the way something turned out, and then you have to like shave like 2 days later and hope you look exactly the same to edit it in like one or two lines. That's the funniest thing of doing stuff in my basement. But you know, doing that and, you know, just trying to entertain Gabe for 2 weeks was a little bit tedious in the cold. You know, I wanted to get out of this house so bad, but, you know, nowhere to go, trying to be safe, hoping this all kind of wraps up soon and trying to stay positive. But I am happy to be back at work and gearing up for CES and gearing up for some of the big announcements coming soon. Hoping I can find my work life balance a little better, but like there is none. Like it doesn't exist. It's very hard to vacation, staycation when you work from home. Do you understand what I'm talking about, Hambone?
Oh yeah. I mean, I had 2 4-day weekends back to back, and it was like, you know, I have a new like perspective on things sometimes. Like I kind of think of like, you know, what we do. We were joking in the beginning of the pandemic, kind of. We were like, you know, Reclamation Day when we're vaccinated again, we're going to all leave our bunkers. But now going on almost a full year in the bunker, I kind of feel like I'm living in a goddamn spaceship where it's like, you know, there's only certain people who are allowing into the ship who are going to be able to breathe the same air as you. And then like, you got to like mask up and put on a suit to go outside of your ship. It feels like it's just kind of like a weird kind of groundhog day, like how long have I been in space thing going on in my brain right now.
Yeah, no, I get it.
If that makes sense.
I mean, I don't want to go up in a spaceship. I just want to be able to go to like Lanois and have a tiki drink. I'm realizing things are getting a little depressing now because I'm seeing photos and things coming up in my timeline and in my Google Photos. That's like a year ago you did this. And a year ago and within the next month of last year, you know, we had CES, we had Samsung Unpacked. I was in Chicago launching the new Razer. I did a lot of cool stuff. I went to a lot of tiki bars and then the world just stopped. Like literally, it was like I was going 60 miles per hour and I hit a brick wall. And now I'm like seeing that and I'm seeing where I was a year ago. It's getting a lot more depressing.
Yeah. I mean, we are coming up on a year of being locked down, like a full honest to goodness 365 of being on lockdown. And I am going to therapy constantly, which is good. I use Talkspace, also not an ad, folks. We're just talking about the things we actually use in our day-to-day lives. I have therapy, which is great, which has been really paramount to my success and keeping my cool during all this. However, even with therapy, even with, you know, being sober, even with like, you know, doing my best to take care of myself, it's still kind of mentally, some days I wake up and I'm like, fuck, we're still in this. Like, when can I just go and sit down at the counter at a diner, order some eggs and have a cup of coffee and like shoot the breeze with a fucking waitress? Like, you know, I miss the little things, like going to game night, like down the block, like just, it hits a point where I'm like, fuck, man, we're still here, you know? But, you know, on the flip side of that, fuck, man, I'm still here. I'm healthy. I'm okay. Like,
I gotta tell you something. I think I enjoyed virtual game night a lot more than in-person game night.
Yeah, it smelled a little better.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like not having to go out in the cold and drive that like 5 miles and then like sit in the cold with no drinks or food unless we order something. And then it's like the way too long trying to ramp up a game. And then it just drags. And then we're there way too late. And then I get a ticket coming home pretty much every time. I was like,
way too fast.
Yeah. I mean, I can cook dinner and then sit down and be like, oh, I am now just playing game with my friends. I actually like Sly. I just hope there's more of a selection going forward. That is a lot more entertaining for me. For the most part, I actually really, really enjoyed virtual game night. But I get what you mean. I just want to, I just want to see people. I want to go see people I don't see too often. Like, again, a lot of reporter friends, a lot of people who you know, I work with would be awesome. We recently rehired one of my old colleagues, Andrew Testa, who might or might not be listening to this. He had gone off to do his own thing for a while and realized that doing your own thing sometimes is harder than it looks. And we hired him back. He just started. I'm super excited. And just to see him show up on our group Zoom call in the morning, I'm like, oh, fuck, familiar face. Even though now it's an afro and a full beard like everyone else. I was really, really ecstatic about that. So like the little things do help. It's just, it's really tough when you have a kid and it's the weekend and the kid really wants to do something. It's like it's 29 degrees out and there's nothing you can do. There's nowhere to go. And you're just playing Paw Patrol for 12 hours. Like that is, he doesn't nap. He goes to bed when we go to bed. Like he sleeps with my wife. Like it's like, oh, I live in a sports car. I sleep in a sports car. You know,
it's fucking weird here, man.
Yeah. It's just insane. One thing I will say that's helped me throughout the year. And this is not, fuck, if you guys all want to advertise, that's fine. And I don't even care. I'll plug the shit out of anything. HelloFresh. We use HelloFresh. We used to use it 3 times a week. Basically they send you like a whole bunch of stuff, food, It's kind of like they give you the recipe and they give you the food, but you have to make it. And I have found that to be very therapeutic for me. That's my therapy. Even though I've worked my ass off all day, I got to run and get Gabe at night. I got to deal with Gabe coming home, giving him to Allison. I then cook. And that's why it's hard for me to get to game night sometimes. Like it's hard for me to do all that. And then I have to cook dinner and serve dinner at like 8 p.m. And for me to be able to do that, I find it cathartic. I listen to Iron Maiden. I watch old Iron Maiden concerts. By the way, there's shit from like 2013, 2015. Amazing Iron Maiden concerts. But we've moved up to 5 days a week on it from 3 days. It's like it's more money, but I'm preparing like a home-cooked meal 5 days a week, and it's really, really nice, and I really enjoy cooking.
Well, it's more money theoretically, but in the end of the day, you're not going out to restaurants. You're actually saving money.
Yeah, but we wouldn't be going out anyway. Like we're fucked either way.
Yeah. Regardless. I just bought an Instapot, so I get what you mean. Like I haven't used it yet. I'm gonna set it up tomorrow. I'm gonna use it tomorrow. But I bought an Instant Pot to jazz things up a little bit because I have been doing a lot of cooking from home for the last full year. Like a year with practically no takeout for me is like unheard of. So I'm trying some new things. So I feel you, man.
Breakfast kills me. There is literally we DoorDash for breakfast every day, and there's literally like 5 places that really do anything good. So it's like Red Eye, Bluestone, Bagels by Jarrett in West Orange, which does these crazy bagels with the whatever's in it is cooked into the bagel. So you want egg and cheese or like whatever is in there. Like there's one that's mozzarella sticks and onion rings and like some other shit with marinara sauce cooked into the bagel, and it's cooked, they're called a bun, but it's really like a bun bagel. It is insane. He's only open like 4 days a week though, but they're really, and then there's this Greek place in Bloomfield, Agora by Stamna. I'm going to plug all these places because, you know, support your local places. But other than that, it's like McDonald's and Wendy's, and like, there's just not enough places for me to order breakfast. Tops Diner, we do occasionally, but it's usually pretty heavy. But yeah, I'm running out of breakfast, but I'm eating the same thing for breakfast every day. And I, as you know, so maybe that's another reason why I'm sad. It's like I brunch.
Yeah, you're a bruncher.
I brunch like a motherfucker. Like it's a professional, like I'm a professional bruncher. I believe in brunching with my friends and brunching hard. And every week I would recommend, tell all my friends, I brunch on Sundays and Saturdays. I would like friends to come with me, and they would come or they would not come. Hambone partook a little less than he should have and now regrets it. But the brunching was very important in my life, and we don't brunch, and that's, you know, it's tough. And that's another thing I miss and can't wait to be able to do. Like, I want to go to the Rutherford Pancake House, which never did take out.
Oh, I missed them.
Or it does take out, but far enough away to be a pain in the ass, but they don't do like any of the delivery services. So I don't even know what's going on with them anymore. And I do think about that. Like, does this place still exist anymore? I don't know. But speaking of other things I've been doing, I found, I think our friend Matt, who was on last week, told us about a really, really, really good horror TV show. And horror TV is never a really good medium. I find horror in TV is never really goes far enough to be scary. A case in point, The Stand, which I am going to watch it. I'm going to watch it through. But Jesus Christ, the second episode is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I tapped.
Sweet Home is the Netflix series. It is a, I believe, a Korean monster show. It is quietly released about a week ago on Netflix. It's 10 episodes. They run about an hour each. And it starts off as like a typical zombie show. It's like, oh, there's a zombie. It's killing people in an apartment. I've seen this before a million times. Most recently with like hashtag, was it Awaken? Help me.
Alive.
Alive. Hashtag alive. And I'm like, do I want to watch another TV show about, you know, zombies infesting an apartment complex? But it really slowly starts peeling away and you realize these aren't just zombies. These are monsters. It's a full-on monster invasion. Yes, they do take over human hosts, but there is like fucking monsters. And the best thing I can correlate it to or relate it to is Last of Us. You know how Last of Us, it's a zombie game, but they don't feel like zombies because they don't look like humans anymore. They're fucking the bloaters.
And they're mutants.
Mutants. They're more monsters. This is more like that, where the zombified human is just a fucking terrifying monster. Either they're gigantic, they're two stories tall and look like freaking Hulk Hogan, or like they are, there's some weird, it's like they have big ears like bats. Crazy, creepy creatures. And these people, it's a large apartment complex. Reminds me a little bit of Battle Royale. Remember? Not Battle Royale. I'm sorry. Raid Redemption. Do you remember Raid Redemption?
Raid Redemption, yeah.
So, except the house is in a slum. It's like a real apartment complex with like stores at the lower level. And up above, you have, and there's certain floors that have been compromised. And there's certain floors that haven't. And there are the ability to drop fences, I guess, between them. And there's just so much going on. But the funny thing is like, it's a little bit funny, and I feel like I'd get more of the humor if I spoke the language, but there is stuff in there where I'm laughing, so I'm thinking it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But there's like also monster hunters that happen to be living in the apartment complex.
Hey, man, even monster hunters need a place to crash.
And that makes it even more awesome. Look, the animation on this, and I got to call it animation, the CG on this is really low rent. I mean, especially on a 4K TV, it is pretty... It looks more like cartoons at some points, but they do it so well with the gore and the acting and the slow reveal of storylines. Every week you try to find a little bit more about someone else in the apartment complex, a little bit more. And it's like, imagine a complex the size of like your Nutley apartment. There was like hundreds of people living in there. And then there's like floors that are completely compromised with monsters, and there's some that aren't. And then like you, like they peel back and like the whole world is infested by monsters. So it also feels a lot like Cloverfield. And that's where it's just awesome. And it's, I have never felt this happy about a monster hunter TV show in a very long time, if ever. And that's the best thing I can, compare it to, is just any sort of like weird monster. And some of it is like kids becoming monster hunters because they just happen to be there and they're trying to like figure out. There's a lot of MacGyvering weaponry, like figuring out how to turn everyday objects into weapons, because these people don't have weapons. They don't have like machine guns at their disposal. They're using what is in the building. And
love it.
It is really, really good. It is gory as hell. It is dark in places, but it is a monster at its heart. It's a monster TV show, and it's called Sweet Home. And I think the whole thing largely takes place in this one complex, and I love it. And there is a dub track if you want to listen to it in English, in case you don't want to read.
You know, that's how your old Betty HB's watching it.
But I was watching this. I'm like, this is so up Hambone's alley, like so up his alley. It's just, if it was in English, he'd probably be a little bit more up. I could see them remaking this. It's just, I want to find out what other people think of the effects, because it is really, really, you don't see like strings. I think it's almost like someone just learned how to do animation effects and just went crazy doing it, like absolutely bonkers.
The effects are making it kind of hard for me to watch.
But you haven't seen it yet, so you got to try. You gotta try
Sci-Fi Channel effects, but yeah. I'm trying. I'm not.
Oh wait, you started watching it?
Oh, I started watching it. Yeah, that's why I said your old buddy HP is watching with the dubs.
Oh, I had no idea. I'm sorry. Yeah, you said I watched it, so I just assumed you had.
Yeah. But you were really psyched on it, and I was like, listen, when you're really psyched on something, as long as it's like not a cult show or 90 Day Fiance, then I will totally check it out. But I did. I started watching it. The effects are pretty bad, and that's coming a lot from me, who watches all that sci-fi made for TV shit. But I'm gonna try to get through it.
The problem is like, I think it's very low budget, and the problem is you don't have. If you want to go over the top, you can't do it with practical effects. Like, you just can't do it and make it look good today. So I think they tried to go over the top with the CGI, but I think the good storytelling and interesting characters make it worthwhile beyond the corny. I don't want to say corny. It just looks, it's not the best CGI. It looks like cartoons. I think it looks like video games. We talked about this in the past when we were talking about that one sequel to another zombie movie, where we said it just looked a little too much like a video game. And it's a lot of that. And it's very close up, so it's even more weird. But I've been able to kind of ignore it, mostly because I like the characters enough and I want to see where they end up. So this is for me. This is for anyone out there who just wants to see a really good zombie monster movie. Would you say they're monsters, right?
Oh, they're definitely monsters. I mean, there is a zombie in there, kind of per se, but they are monsters. So I liken the effects to when digital effects first became a thing and you only had two speeds, which was like Steven Spielberg level effects for like Jurassic Park, and then like the shit that everyone else had, where it was popping up more in movies and everyone was like, oh my god, that's awesome, like it's a digital effect, to now where it's like it looks like an unfinished video game effect in the modern world. So it's kind of a weird spot between. If you could just find a way to suspend the disbelief, you will enjoy this show. I am enjoying the story, but sometimes when the creatures come on, I'm looking for my phone.
Yeah, I put away the phone now. That is the rule. I don't have the phone because I will check the phone. So I'm like, no more. I got to enjoy my shows, especially towards the end of the night when Allison goes to bed at 10 o'clock, which is usually when I watch all my programs. My meds are completely worn off. So I need to like focus. And, look, if it's bad, I'll turn it off, even though I've been working through the stand. I will be the one to do the review. I will do the final review. And I understand that. And I it's got to happen. I mean, you've taken the bullets for us many times. I will do it for us this time.
Yeah, you might have to. I'm trying, man. But that episode two was like, I was tough.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something that's not tough, something I really did enjoy, and something I'm kind of bummed about at the same time. Season 4, part 4 of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Can I got to talk to you first. I got to talk about Sabrina.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I got to cut you off because I had a tough time with Sabrina. Like, I had a tough time with Sabrina because I found Sabrina couldn't figure out whether it wanted to be something quirkier like a Cobra Kai. I think this is a good tie into the beginning. Or it wanted to be satanic and evil. And I always was caught up in the juxtaposition between the like chipper fun high school kid and then like full on fucking satanic worship. And I am not super Christian. I do not care. You guys know me. I like feel bad TV. I actually enjoyed Siberian film. Like, I get like fucked up stuff, but I was really put back by just like, is this satanic or is this like fun? Because I'm not having fun watching this sometimes.
You know, I think that's a very fair critique. And it did always, to me, struggle the line between fun coming of age teen drama and satanic panic. That being said, I really enjoyed the show. And I was always willing to kind of look past certain things that they felt short with in favor of the overall story. Now, what is going on with Sabrina is it was supposed to go 5 seasons. Last year when Netflix was all like, hey, there's a bunch of shit we have to cancel. Either go home with it or the story ends now. They knew that they were going to not make it to 5 seasons. So I call season 4 of Sabrina 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag, where the story as it was supposed to play out was building up to this grand witch war for all the different factions of the witches. And season 4 was just supposed to be focused on the Eldritch horrors. That is like the Cthulhu cosmic horror stuff, you know, H.P. Lovecraft. They crammed it both into 8 episodes, which they turned it into more of a Monster of the Week show, where you're definitely going to watch season 4. And if you were a fan of the show before, it's very abridged. It's very like, okay, we know we need to go home on this. So we are going to do a Monster of the Week thing where every episode gets resolved in that episode. And the stuff that would normally build tension and ride out through the course of the season is going to get resolved a lot quicker. All of that said, I think they did a very good job with it. There are certain things where you're like, oh man, they're really going home fast on this. But the one thing I will say about this season is in season 3, Harvey and Roz and Theo went and made a band called the Fright Club. So there was no less than 8 musical numbers in this season of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, like full-on musical numbers, like, holy shit, you're going home, but you're going to make time for the music. So I really did enjoy it. I thought the show wrapped up well. I really do wish we would have gotten the full 5 seasons to have the full story completely unfold. But hey, man, doing with what they had, they did a great job.
Yeah, I wanted to like it. I probably will go through it and finish it at some point. I just was struggling. I was struggling a little bit with the second season. I think I never got through the second season. And I wanted to like it, but it was just so convoluted. And it was just, its level of Satanism was so, not, and again, I'm talking about Satanism. I just meant like the level of like depth they were going with, you call it satanic panic. I'm just like, the way they were visualizing the evil, I was just getting confused. And I kind of wanted to have fun, and I wasn't having fun. And that was my only critique of that. If it finished well, like, I'm willing to go through with it because I really enjoy the actress who played the part of Sabrina.
Shannon Shipka? Yeah, she's fantastic.
From Mad Men. And I thought she was the best thing of Mad Men through the end. But
I don't think it's worth it for you to finish watching. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think if you weren't having fun, it's not going to get much more fun for you as the seasons go on. Save your time and watch something else that you're actually going to enjoy. I wish it made it 5 seasons. And I think the biggest disservice to the show is that they had to finish in 4. However, you know, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, there you go. I am happy that at least it had some sort of ending. My big thing right now is I feel like everything should be, if it's good, it should get an ending. Like, this
Glow should have gotten an ending.
This isn't the 90s. Like, everything should be, the story should be wrapped up at some point. But, you know, it's Big Bunny, it's corporations, it's the way of the world. Hambone, you know what time it is.
Time to go home.
It's time to find out how the kids can reach you.
You can find me on Twitter at Hambreaker. I tweet about board games. I tweet about cute animals. I also tweet about Dungeons and Dragons. You can follow my day-to-day adventures in podcasting and in life over on Instagram at John Hambone McGuire. I've got a book coming out soon that we're going to be kickstarting, so I will definitely be posting more there. George, where can the people find you?
You can reach me at GOK Creative on the Instagram. You can reach me at GOK Creative on the Twitter. You can reach me at cultofgeorge.com. That's my blog. We are at Mai Tai Happy Hour on Instagram, which is getting a lot of followers. I really appreciate that. Keep the content flowing. You can find our entire back catalog at maitaitv.com. We appreciate if you rate, review, and subscribe. Reach out to us if you want to hear something, or if you want us to review something. Hambone will review anything. Again,
I'll watch it.
Thank you so much, guys. Hambone, take us out.
Everybody remember, be nice, socially distance yourselves, wear a mask, get vaccinated, treat yourself right. Happy New Year. Aloha.